Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the fifth day of Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Chagiga, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Aleph. This Perek is going to continue the laws of Tumah and Tahara. In the first three Mishnahs, we're going to go through 11 levels of Kedusha that Kodesh has over Tumah. In other words, we are more strict with kochim, meat for kabbonis, for example, over truma. We're going to discuss 13 different levels of chumras, of stringencies, which apply in tumah and tahara, that only apply to kochim, not to truma. Mishnah Aleph. Chomer ba'kodesh mi'ba'truma. One of the strictnesses of kochim over truma is shematbilin kelim soch kelim litruma. You're allowed a tovel at a mikveh, two kelim that are tameim, that are impure, when one is in the other, if you want to use those kelim for truma, aval lo lakodesh. But such a tevila in a mikveh will not help for the two kelim if you want to use it for kodshim. You need to dip each one independently on its own. The Gemara explains what's the reason for this, is because the inner keli tends to weigh on the keli on the outside, and the external keli, and water doesn't get in properly between the two kelim. So when it comes to kodshim, they said, no way, can't do it. For truma, they weren't so strict because ultimately the water will get there. Acharayim, the back of the keli, any keli that has a receptacle, some say it's the external sides of a keli, v'toich, and the inside of a keli, ubeis hatzvita, and the place where you can hold the keli. They used to make sometimes on the side of the keli, they would make a little indent where you could put your fingers there to hold the keli. And that had an area which was a base kibble. It could hold the water there. All these three are considered separate parts of the keli when it comes to truma. So if one part became tomei, midrabonon, the other parts would not become tomei. So for example, if the back part of the keli became tomei by coming into contact with impure mashkim, impure liquids. Now, impure liquids can only spread tumah midrabon, not minatara. And therefore, if the outside of it came into contact with these liquids which were tomei, the inside of the keli remains intact, remains tahar. And if the tumah was inside it, for example, it would be tahar. Neither will the place where you hold the keli on the sides to put your fingers in it, that won't become tum as well. And if the truma is inside there, in those areas, again, it'll be tahar. Aval leilak bakoidesh. But these three areas are not considered separate in terms of kodshim. And therefore, if one of the parts of the keli became tumah, even if it's only midrabanan, the level of tumah, the whole keli becomes tumah as far as kodshim is concerned. If, however, now, so far we've talked about coming into contact with the tumah derabanan. If, however, like for example, liquids that are tameh, that doesn't have the power to contaminate minatora, only mirabanan. If, however, any one of these parts of a keli, whether it's the back or the inside or the place where you hold your fingers there, if they became contaminated with a tumah minatora, then the whole keli becomes tameh, even for tumah's concern. Even as far as truma. The Gemara brings an opinion that says that if the inside of the keli became tamei, even if it's tumah rabbanon, then the whole keli becomes tamei even for truma. So that's a qualification. The inside of the keli, again, if that became tamei even rabbanon, then the whole keli becomes tamei even for truma. Continues the Mishnah, another chumra. Hanoisei as hamedras, a person who's carrying medras. Now, we learned before what medras is. Medras is an expression used for something that a zov has trodden upon or sat upon or leaned upon or laid upon. It's an avatuma. It's very strict. It's an avatuma. Now, a person who's carrying one of these things, a container, that's an avatuma, noisei se truma. He's allowed to carry, in the other hand, he's allowed to carry truma, providing that the person who's carrying them is not touching the truma. For example, he's carrying the truma in a klicheres, in an earthenware jug, in his second hand. which we know that the rules are of an earthenware jug cannot become contaminated externally, only inside. So therefore, we're not concerned about the fact that he's holding that kelicheres on the outside. He can touch the kelicheres on the outside. It won't become tame. The contents won't become tame. And if it's truma, he can do that. Even though, in the other hand, he's carrying something which is avatuma, primary source of tuma. Aval lo yisa kodesh. But don't do it if you're carrying kodesh. For example, if a person's carrying meat of kodshim or karbonis in one hand, and in the other hand, he wants to carry a medras, something of a tumma, can't do it, even if they're not touching. Now, why? Why were we so strict? And that's the Gemara brings, because there was a story once where a person was taking across a barrel of wine of kodshim. It was going to be used for the mizbeach. He was taking it from place to place, and his shoe lace broke, and it was tumme medras zov, it was av tumma, and he took off the shoelace, put it, he strung it over the mouth of the barrel, thinking that would be all right there, but it actually fell into the airspace of the barrel, and when that happens, the whole barrel becomes tumme, and all the kodshim, all the wine of kodshim became tumme. When that happened, they said, that's it. If you carry av tumma, do not carry in your other hand kodshim. Now, they only made this gezeirah for kodshim because the story happened with kodshim. It didn't happen with truma. Continues the Mishnah. A next strictness or severity that applies to kodshim, not truma. Big day oichle truma, the clothes of a person who is eating truma. In other words, he's careful not to make himself tame, but he's only doing it for the sake of eating truma. Medras lakodesh. When it comes to eating kodshim, it's like an avatuma. Because of the strictness of kodshim. Continues the Mishnah, more stringencies would apply to kodshim over truma. Loike midas ha-kodesh, midas ha-truma. Not like we deal with kodshim, do we deal with truma. Sheba kodesh, when it comes to kodshim, matir, you have to undo. Undo knots. If a person comes to tovel a beged, a garment that's tame, if there is a knot in it, you have to undo the knots first, so it should not be any chatzitza. No, there should be no interruption between the water and the baguette. And then you can dip it in umanagev. And you also have to ensure that you dry it first before you dip it in a mikveh, before you dip the garment in the mikveh. Because we're worried that as a result of being wet, maybe there's creases in the garment, it won't be properly dipped. And therefore, you have to do that. Umatbil, then you toivel the garment, v'achakach kosher, and then you can tie the knot, so you can tie the garment again in the way that you want to tie it. That's all as far as kodshim is concerned. Uva truma. But if you're going to wear these clothes or you're wrapping it up or whatever for truma, kosher v'achkech matpil. If you want to tie the beged, you want to tie the garment and then dip it like that, that's fine. And for sure, you don't have to dry it before you tovel it. For truma, we're not worrying about chatzitza. And this is how Rashi understands the pshat in the Mishnah. The Rambam learns that what does it mean by undoing and doing up and making knots? He says it's not talking about undoing and making knots. He says the Mishnah is talking about assembling and disassembling parts of a keli. When you have boards coming together like a bed and it became tame for kodshim, If you're gonna use this furniture for kodshim, you have to disassemble everything, dip it in the mikveh, and then reassemble it. For truma, it's okay. You don't have to do that. You can tovel it as it is one piece. Mishnah base. Hakelim hanigmorim betara. If you have a keli, you have items that have been finished in a state of tara, which means that the tradesman who did it was a chaver. Chaver means a person who knows how to take care of truma and tara. Nevertheless, tzrichin tefillah lakodesh. If you want to use those containers, that equipment for kodshim, you've got to go and dip in the mikveh again. Not again, but you have to dip it in the mikveh. Why? The person who made it was a tradie who was a chover, who understands tumatara, and he was careful. The chachamim were concerned that perhaps some saliva came out of the mouth of an amaretz, and a saliva of an amaretz is tame, is considered tame, and maybe it was on the keli at the time where the tradesman was doing his work, and when it was finished, maybe there was still that saliva there, and therefore it makes the keli tame. Because so long as the keli is not finished, then that saliva has no impact. No impact whatsoever, because you can't make a kaelotomy if it's unfinished. But we are worried that maybe the saliva was still there and remained there at the time he finished the kaeli. Therefore, the kaeli needs to be toveled for kolchim. This fear is only in the case of kolchim. But not as truma. You're allowed to use these kelim for truma if you know that a trusted person who is a chover, who's careful with tuman tara, finished the keli. We're not worrying about the saliva of an amaret when it comes to truma. The Gemara adds further that even as far as kolchim is concerned, when we say the Mishnah, you have to tovel it, you tovel it, but that's it. You don't have to wait for the sun to set. We have now gone through six levels of severity, or six different milos, we call it, which apply to kolchim, don't apply to truma, but not only to kolchim, but they apply to what's called chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, which means that if certain people ate chulin, ate ordinary food, with the strictness as if it was kolchim. And the six levels that we've mentioned before, six different steps, apply to both kolchim and chulin, which were made al taras hakodesh, not to truma. From here onwards, however, we're going to mention five levels of holiness which apply to kolchim, but only kolchim. Kodesh gomer, as we call it, real kolchim. Not chulin, which is eaten with the status of kolchim. Let's start these last five. Continues the Mishnah. Hakli metzoref masha besoichel hakodesh. A container will join everything in it as far as kolchim is concerned, which means, let's say you had a number of pieces of food in a container, and Tuma touched one of them. It didn't touch the others. As far as kolchim is concerned, the keli joins all the pieces as if it's one big piece, and therefore the whole thing's tamei, all the pieces of it. The Gemara brings a hint to this from a pasuk in Bamidbar, in the pasuk of Nosoi, kafachas hasar zahav melekateres. Kafachas, they say, kafachas literally means one spoon, but the Gemara makes a drosha out of it. Kaf, if you have a spoon, if you have something that's in that spoon, in that keli, achas, it makes everything in it like one. This stringency applies only to kolchim, aval loy l'truma. It will not apply to truma. In truma, with truma, if there's pieces of truma in this container, then the only piece that's tuma is that what was actually touched by the tuma. The other pieces that the tuma didn't touch will remain tame. A further stringency. How far down the levels of tuma does it go as far as truma and as far as kolchim is concerned? Now, we know there are levels of tuma. Anything that's tuma because of a dead body by touching it, or odom, or a human, or a keli, it's called avatuma, primary source of tuma. Other sources of tuma, which are called avatuma, are a dead sheretz, one of the eight rodents that dies, which the Torah specifies. A nevela, carcass of an animal that was not shechted. A zov, a metzora. All these are avos tuma, primary sources of tuma. If anyone touches, or anything touches, an avatuma, it becomes rishon tuma, first degree tuma. Now, first degree tuma is called a tulda, it's called an offspring. It's less strict. And it cannot be metame anything other than food and drink. If food and drink touch an rishon tuma, then that food becomes sheni l'tuma, second degree tuma. And this will apply whether it's chulin, whether it's ordinary food, or whether it's truma kolchim. But as far as ordinary food is concerned, it stops there, cannot go further. So for example, if ordinary food touches a sheni l'tuma, there's no impact. That ordinary food does not become impacted because it cannot go down to a shlishi. There's no such thing as shlishi, third degree tuma, when it's chulin. If, however, truma touched a sheni l'tuma, then it will become a problem, and that truma cannot be eaten. It's called shlishi l'tuma. But that's as far as it goes, as far as truma is concerned. A shlishi cannot metame truma further to make it a revir. That can never happen. And here's where our Mishnah says kolchim has this extra stringency. A revir b'kodesh posel, that if you have a shlishi l'tuma, and it gets touched by a kolchim, that kolchim cannot be eaten either. It's called a revi'i. And that it goes down to a fourth degree tumor. And that's, again, a stringency only applicable to kolchim. another strictness. Uva truma, when it comes to truma, im nitmeis achas miyodov, if one of his hands became tame, with a tuma which is midrabanon, which midrabanon will only mitame the hand, but not the rest of the body. For example, the touched food and drink that is tame, one of his hands. Can he use the other hand for eating truma? Yes. Chaverto tohoro, the other hand is considered tohor, and he can touch truma and eat it. Uva koidesh, when it comes to kodshim, matbil shteihen, he has to dip in the mikveh both of the hands. If he wants to come and touch kodshim, he has to tovel both hands. Why? Shehayod metame is chaverto bakoidesh, because a hand has the ability to make the other hand tome when it comes to kodshim. The Rambam explains that if the hand was moist or wet at the time it became tame, then even if the other hand didn't touch it, doesn't matter. The other hand becomes tame immediately as far as kodshim is concerned. He has to dip both of them if he wants to eat kodshim. But if the hand that was tame was not wet, then the other hand does not become tame for kodshim unless the actual hands touch each other. Ava lo betruma, concludes the Mishnah, but this will not apply to truma. With far as truma is concerned, if one hand only touched truma, then that hand only remains tame. The other hand will not become tame as a result. And even if they touch each other, as long as there's no liquid. If there's liquid, that's a different story. And therefore, as far as truma is concerned, only one hand, the one hand that became tame is tame. He doesn't have to tovel the hand that was tame. He doesn't have to even tovel the hand that's tame. He just washes it, as you do for truma, like we wash until sedaim. And that's all. And he can touch truma.